Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice on pain management at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, let's have a look at what's coming up on our big and small screens. And we're joined today by movie editor of the RTE Guide, Michael Doherty, and writer Henrietta McCurvey. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Brendan.
Michael, Oscar night tonight, and big Irish interest, poor things. It'll be Oppenheimer's night, will it?
Oppenheimer's night, very much. I mean, hopefully, we do hope that Poor Things will get a few, obviously Irish produced. And it'd be lovely to see Robbie Ryan getting the cinematographer nod, because he's a terrific filmmaker. But yeah, it's definitely Oppenheimer, and hopefully Killian. I mean, the rest of the guys, it's pretty much a shoe-in. Killian is nearly there. He's nearly home and hosed, particularly once he won the SAG. But Paul Giamatti is very, very popular, and he's very popular amongst the voters. So it's not done and dusted just quite yet, okay. I would say.
There could be, you know, remember that thing, was it Kurt Russell? And he got the Oscar, and they said, because it's time.
Yes,
there could
exactly.
be an element of that with
Giamatti.
Was,
especially with Giamatti,
like,
because yeah. if I follow a lot of podcasts where they talk about, like, they talk to voters, and voters were saying he should have won it for Sideways.
Yeah.
And we should have given it for Sideways. And when you look at Oppenheimer, will get a lot. It'll get Best Picture, it'll get Best Director, it'll definitely get Best Supporting Actor. So I hope, fingers crossed, Killian isn't the one where they go, it's about time for somebody else.
Yeah. Henrietta, what do you have your eye on tonight?
Well, I loved Anatomy of a Fall last year. I can't see it taking Best Picture. But maybe I'd love if Sandra Hüller won for her performance. And I also get really in the weeds of the production categories. Mm-hmm. So for sound design, I thought the sound, the way it was used in Zone of Interest, was just amazing.
Yes.
To create the camp with that you never see, but you hear the industrialised, you know, version of it. So I would love if it won for that.
Yeah, yeah. And you would have to think that the lushness, costumes, beauty in Poor Things would have to be
recognised. Yeah, absolutely. And also, the production design as well,
the texture. Yeah.
So it will be spread around, but I think it will be Oppenheimer's night.
Michael, your first pick today is nominated for an Oscar tonight, actually, in Best Feature Documentary, at 20 Days in Mariupol. It's on Channel 4 tomorrow night at 10:30.
Yes, it's one of those documentaries that needs to be seen, and yet it's a harrowing watch. It won the BAFTA and its favourite for the Oscar tonight. It's a story of when the Russians moved into the port city of Mariupol in Ukraine. A lot of people moved out, but this filmmaker and his crew, journalists, moved in and stayed there and went to the point of saying, listen, I need to capture what's happening here for, you know, as a testament to the world. And it's absolutely harrowing, because he's sitting there when the hospitals are being blown up, and he's sitting there when people are being killed, and it's, the camera sees everything, and it is quite harrowing. It's hard to look away, and you don't want to look away, and it's important you don't look away, but it's a tough watch, but it's remarkable. It's everything that a good documentary should be. Okay. And it really does open an eye, a window to a world that is just harrowing.
Okay, 20 Days in Mariupol, Channel 4 tomorrow at 10:30. Henrietta, on a different note entirely. So Friday, Netflix, An Irish Wish.
Yeah, this
Irish
is like
Wedding,
the opposite
made by
of the
Americans,
Oscars.
Lindsay Lohan, what could possibly go wrong here?
Yeah. And a lot of red hair, like you were talking about earlier. Yeah. There's a lot of red hair in this. Yeah, so she plays this shy book editor, of course, they're nearly always shy book editors, who was putting her feelings aside to be a bridesmaid at the wedding of her best friend to the man she considers the one who got away from her. So she makes a wish that she was marrying him instead, and one flutter of cherry blossom petals later, ta-da, she is the bride. So, and of course, there's another love interest. You know, you can just imagine this has all of the Paddy Whackery whack-a-mole, I would say, hits from it. But it looks like it's nicely made. You know, Ireland will look very pretty in it. Westport looks lovely. No, I haven't seen it.
Well, in fact, it's embargoed. I mean, it's embargoed for press until the day of screening. That speaks volumes, you know. Yes, I mean, there's a lot of weak movies where they've even allowed us to see it. We've been told, because I asked, could I see it before this, you know, in order to talk about it today.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, no, embargoed until day of release.
They're afraid of
that's a very, very bad sign.
No, are they not showing it to Irish people because they've seen what happens in the past with these Paddy Whackery?
Yeah, it happened with Wild Mountain Time, and certainly it happened with the great Riddle Me This of Leap Year, which is the nadir. I mean, this is probably Citizen Kane compared to Leap Year, but I suspect it's on that spectrum.
Yeah, what there's a writer, Seamus O'Reilly, who calls these Spud Face. So,
okay.
Yeah,
okay, that's an Irish Wish Friday on Netflix, and sure, curiosity anyway. Michael, the other side of all that, Black 47 is on TG Cahir tomorrow night at 9:30.
Yeah, excellent. There'll be a lot of, obviously, for the week that's in it, Seachtain na Gael, there's a lot of Irish made movies coming up. This is a terrific one, Lance Daly's movie. It's one of the very first features made about the famine. James Fresherville and Hugo Weaving, two Australians actually, but very, very strong, very, very strong performances, beautifully shot. It's just a story of an Irish ranger comes home. And he's been fighting for the British Army, but then he comes back to Ireland and peace. And instead, what he finds, his family are, you know, basically eating grass on the side of the road, and he takes revenge. So it's a revenge drama, which could have been directed by Clint Eastwood, but it's set and shot, beautifully shot and set during the famine era. And it's great to see a drama that gets people talking about the famine as well, which is never
okay.
a bad thing.
All right, haven't seen it. So Black 47, TG Cahir, tomorrow night at 9:30. Henrietta Forensics, The Real CSI, is back on BBC tonight.
That's right,
nine.
BBC Two yeah. at 9,
and
series
I'm not
four.
Surprised that you love this. Yeah.
No, I love the behind the scenes. Like, put me in behind the scenes at a factory and I'm having a great time. Yeah, so this isn't for, I would say, fans of the drama CSI, because there isn't a lot of drama. There's a lot of people looking at computer screens and talking about forensics. But it's really fascinating. I mean, even a droplet of exhaled breath has DNA in it. So how anybody is ever getting away with any crimes anymore really surprises me. And this goes right in behind the scenes of forensic solving crimes. They have CCTV footage from crimes. There was one in the last season about a huge raid in a jewellery shop in Birmingham. And it started with the CCTV footage of this car slamming into the shop and just takes it from there. And then the five accused were convicted. You know, so it actually goes right through to the very end.
Forensics.
It's fascinating.
Real CSI, BBC One.
BBC Two
at 9 tonight. Michael, in the cinemas now, High and Low, the John Galliano film. It's a very tricky subject and a tricky story to tell, isn't it?
It is very tricky. And what the director has done, Kevin MacDonald, is he started off with The Low. So we start off with John Galliano. It's the story of John Galliano, the haute couture designer. And you see him through a mobile phone footage of having an absolute anti-Semitic drunken rant at a woman in a Paris cafe, which basically led to him being cancelled, losing every job he ever had and being pilloried by the establishment. Then he came back and now he's back again in the height of haute couture. So it's a story of how, you know, the lows, the highs, how he went from being a sort of an East End guy to being the head of this two fashion houses in Paris. And his redemption occurred. So it's about high fashion, low morals and the nature of public apology, because he's back. He has been accepted back again. And yet other people who have erred and who have been cancelled have been cast through wilderness. But yet this guy is back. And it's just all about the nature of what it means to be in the eye of the storm.
OK, that's High and Low, John Galliano, in cinemas now. Henrietta, Netflix again, The Programme. Cons, cults and kidnapping. This sounds amazing.
It's really interesting. This is a three-part series and it centres on the experience of a woman called Catherine Daniel, who was sent to a school called Ivy Ridge in upstate New York. It was one of those schools that are meant to, like a reform school, where you are taken from your bed in the middle of the night and your parents or whoever have arranged for you to go there. Sopranos fans might recognise the idea, because it happens to young Vito. He's forcibly removed from his house in one episode and sent to one of these schools. And it's really just there about the reality was torture and abuse. And this young woman was always really interested in making her own movie. So she's a lot of footage of herself as a child. And then she and some of her friends from that school go back, and the place is now abandoned and they've just left everything behind. So you see them walking through her old school and they're finding files about themselves. And like all the material, like the bunk beds are still there. It's this really creepy scene when you follow her going through it. Now, it is three episodes. It then goes into the story of cults, you know, how it all came about, you know, how they have CCTV footage from the school. And you see, there's one scene where you see a young boy and he's in some sort of detention room and he's being carried by the neck by the supposed teachers from one room to another. It's really shocking. And there's a huge amount of footage. Now, I don't think it really needs to be three parts necessarily. I think there's that Netflix thing where they make too many. They're also, I think, they assume everybody is second screening. You're watching one thing and you're also on another device. So there tends to be a lot of repetition in these shows. And apparently it's being built into Netflix productions, that idea of, you need to do the plot points a couple of times because people won't catch it because they're actually looking at their phone as well. So that's why these things sort of swell out over what they should do. But it's a really fascinating watch at the same time, this, just seeing what these people went through under the guise of education.
Okay, I'm stuck back at the fact that they're making television for people who aren't really watching.
Yeah, I know.
The program, Cons, Cults and Kidnappings, and that's on Netflix now. Michael, the highest grossing concert film of all time is coming to Disney Plus.
Yep, Taylor Swift, you may have heard of her. She's been around a bit, but she's been in the papers a couple of times, and you can't even watch an American football game without seeing Taylor Swift. But what's incredible, obviously everyone will watch it, her concert tour sold out everywhere. What I find amazing about it is that when Taylor Swift herself went to the production companies, the Warners and the Netflix, nobody would actually put up the money for it to promote, to actually finance the idea of it being in the cinemas. So she went, okay, I'll go directly to the cinemas myself and take the lion's share of the profits, which have been to date $240 million. And what I can't understand is that with all these bright guys and these, masters of the universe who were at these media companies, no one thought this would be a good idea to...
Terrible decision.
Yeah, because not only will they go and see it once, but as you know, people will go and see it 10 times.
Yeah.
So that's most extraordinary. But obviously, if you're a Tay-Tay fan, you'll be glued to this on Friday.
Yeah, and it's there. It's on Disney Plus now in perpetuity so people can watch it
exactly
time and time again, and no doubt they will. Henrietta, is this the second series of Eugene Levy from Schitt's Creek's travel show?
Yes.
Did I miss it? Yeah,
yeah, it is, yeah. It's really charming. I like this a lot because the premise is that he doesn't like travelling and he's going out of his comfort
zone.
It's
called The Reluctant Traveller.
The Reluctant Traveller. It's on Apple TV. Yeah, there's 8 episodes. Like most of these sort of programs are about travelling and adventure, but most of us don't travel. We go on holidays. And that's kind of what he's doing. He's somebody who's used to going on holidays, but he's now being put in uncomfortable situations. And he doesn't like being hot and he doesn't like being too cold and he doesn't like humidity because his hair goes funny. And he has to experience all of these things. And he has this sort of charming bafflement about him. And he's very open about the fact he doesn't really want to have to try sushi. And he tries a bit. It's like watching a toddler being given a piece of broccoli. But you do see him trying all these things as he goes around and has his adventures. And he's quite honest about the things that he finds challenging about it. And it's just really charming and people respond to him very well. And he's clearly having a very nice time while completely out of his comfort zone.
Okay, I'm surprised I missed that. So The Reluctant Traveller on Apple TV, and this is the second season of it. Just before we go, Henrietta, you did want to mention Deadwater Fell, which is it's with David Tennant.
Yes.
It's from a few years ago, but it's on Netflix.
It was on
now.
Channel 4 originally, and it's just arrived on Netflix. Yeah, it's a four-parter, one of those like small community dramas. You know, he's less Doctor Who and more Doctor Who done it in this. He plays a doctor whose wife and 3 children die. That's not a spoiler. That happens quite quickly. And did his wife, who was having a lot of problems, did she commit suicide and kill the children as well? Or is it him? And it just unfolds really slowly.
Okay, so for
slowly,
people who missed that at the time, it's
definitely
worth the watch. Okay, Henrietta McCurvey and Michael Doherty, thank you very much. And that's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app. Today's show was produced by Tessa Delahanty. Research was by Katrina McFadden. Stephen Higgins was the broadcast coordinator and Harry Booklis was on sound. August Farnagaishtuk by Justin McCarthy, Liv Galua led this week. But in the meantime, I'll talk to you next week.
Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.